Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that seems to be a little better for a theme on the man cave night. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where we pretend. This is the man cave where Steven 76 and myself, Jay Hutto, we get together last Friday of every month, take a break from a little poetry and talk about anything we want to. We'll just BS back together. This is a pit of voices and a slice of poetic life. Did I get it right?
Close enough.
Okay. production. And we are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, ATLV. We hang out at allpoetry.com. It's free to join. You can go to allpoetry.com. We're in the groups section. You hit the tab, the groups, Taylor Voices and a Slice of Poetic Life. Available, knock on the door, we'll let you in, and you can be a part of the community. We share our work on Blog Talk so we can follow along our rights. But it's Man Cave Friday. So with me is Steven 76. How are you, Steven?
Well, all right. And not only is it the last Friday of the month, but it's actually the last day of the month.
How about that? That's right. April 1st, tomorrow. And the countdown begins. I'll have 30 days. And I'm going to the other side of this planet. I can't wait. But, I was going over some things to discuss. I thought a good one would be a little questionnaire on getting old. You know, as you get old, things tend to get foggier, especially with memory or being able to plan things. So I made a list of what would you rather lose. If you had a choice, what would you rather lose first? For example, would you rather lose the ability to recognize faces or the ability to recognize dates, as in future dates or past dates? What do you think?
You know, I already can't remember yesterday, so I guess I'll...
It's a date. Yeah, I agree. Okay. How about... that's a tough one. You, the date's long and short term. You know, is it my birthday? I don't know. When's Christmas? That'd be tough. How about know how to fix things or being able to pay your own bills? Which would you rather lose first?
Well, I mean, I guess paying bills is kind of important, or else you end up losing everything anyway. So, I guess I'm already at the point where I really can't do my own oil changes anymore. So, I guess it's going to have to go with that.
Fix the other new things. Yeah. Okay. How about this? I should have asked this one first. The dates thing again, the ability to remember dates or your accomplishments or to be able to plan tomorrow. Sort of your identity, I guess, or dates. That, when I wrote that out, that was a tough one.
Our
accomplishments, right? But
got to think back on the glory days.
You know, yeah. Yeah. I agree. Just for your own self worth, I guess. It's like I had read that President Reagan, his last days going through dementia, so he didn't know he was the leader of the free world. He had forgotten all that. That's a tough one.
That's some, yeah, that's something you'd want to remember, I think.
You would. You would. Who you were. How about, let's see. Okay. How about the remembering things short term or your humor?
I need my humor.
Gotta have it, right? I agree. yeah, I'm having trouble with short-term memory, keeping things planned, you know. And that's been trouble I've had since I had the brain surgery a long time ago. And it seems to have been tougher to be able to see tomorrow. Plan on, you know, live for today. Not a good philosophy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, none of it's really good. You just got to be as graceful as you can growing old. Just be as graceful as you can and smile a lot.
Yeah.
And be and understand that you need to do that for the people that didn't get a chance to grow old.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So there's a reason to being humble and graceful as you can. As graceful as you can. You know, that makes me laugh at some of the things, you know, when you get older. There's nothing graceful about it. But, I know. I was. National Day today. I like going through these. Today, March 31st, the year of our Lord 2023. It is Clams on the Half Shell Day.
That's
and National Tater Day. Clams on the Half Shell. Tater Day. I guess tater tots? Tater Day?
Any kind of tater, I don't know.
What's tater? Oh, National Crayon Day. There you go, Deborah. Crayon Day.
Oh, yeah.
And National Prom Day, Take Down Tobacco Day today. And I'll hit tomorrow, too, since today's almost over. It's April Fool's Day, which is also Love Your Children Day.
Right.
Yeah. National Handmade Day. Make something, you know, handmade. Oh.
Handmade?
National Handmade. Make something, yeah. Huh. Put a sticker on something. Awesome. Yeah. And National 1 Cent Day. Penny Day. Reminds me what Canada did. Canada years ago made a $2 coin. They called it a toonie. And they just recently made a coin for $1, and it's a uni. So it's an uni toonie or a loony toonie.
Loony toonie.
There you go, Canada. Yeah.
That's all, folks.
Sourdough bread day tomorrow will also play outside on Saturday day.
I do like sourdough.
What's that?
I do like sourdough.
Yeah, good sourdough. Yeah, we're close to San Francisco, which is a good hub for good sourdough. You know, here in Sacramento, anytime I had to travel into the city, used to have through the Highway 80, Interstate 80, you'd have to go buy these bread companies, Wonder Bread and Colombo Bread, and they baked it in the morning, and the smell was just incredible. The smell of fresh bread made. And then somebody complained. So they had to filter. The baking aroma, and they can only do it in the middle of the night. It's only baked in the middle of the night because somebody complained because it drifted across the freeway.
Oh my God!
I know, people. Right. I always knew if I had to. I knew if I had to go downtown in the morning, I could drive by. It was Arden Way in the freeway, and you could have that to look forward to. Now, not so much. In fact, I think they're mostly shut down now.
But, I mean, that'd be like going to a carnival and complaining that, hey, I could smell the Italian sausage cooking. Could you stop?
Yeah. And that terrible music they play. It's just going to happen. Yeah, I can't believe somebody had complained. I think they had complained that it was a distraction.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like you close your eyes to smell. I mean, it just comes natural. So, yeah.
But it was somebody who was on a diet.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't think of that one. It made me stop and get a Cinnabon. Yeah, that's like we had an Interstate 80 from Sacramento to San Francisco where University of Davis is. There's a floodplain that they flood every year. It's for excess water. They flood it. They grow a field corn in it for feed and such. But they'll flood it in the winter, being that to ease the dikes. In doing that, somebody found a frog, some yellow spotted frog or something, that by they had to make access. They were building the trestle for the train, which paralleled. And they had to make access underneath the trestles and the freeway, because we were limiting the mating environment for this spotted frog. And the environmentalists stopped the construction for years. And what they built a tunnel at the price of couple million dollars, built a tunnel.
Wow.
So these frogs could access those sites. And it was like, are you kidding me? They even made up something that this is the only place in the world this frog lives. It waits for the water, and then it comes out. It was so stupid. $1 million, and several years later, we got the bypass, the causeway fixed, which is the main hub from Sacramento to San Francisco.
There was a sitcom that played on that, and I can't remember what it was, but they were trying to do something, and they weren't allowed to because it was the mating grounds for some species of bird or something like that. I don't remember what it was, though.
Yeah, they did that somewhere in the desert. I don't know if it was in California or where exactly it was, but there was some kind of gnat, some dayfly, that waited for rain, which came every decade, and then these dayflies would come out. They would form these big clouds of other flies and mate, and then they would lay their eggs, and in the mud, they'd wait for another decade. It was something, I know, and that was a big environmentalist. That's where they dug their heels in. I have to look that up exactly where that was. But
just brought to mind.
Say that again.
Sorry. You had brought to mind the last time I actually went and to like one of those comedy places where the comedians get up on stage and they have like three or four different comedians and you're there having dinner and drinks.
Yeah.
And I just was thinking of the one. You're making me think of the one comedian who was talking about the mayflies and mating season and how he hated riding his motorcycle during that time because you get pelted in the face, and he was like, oh, salty.
Yeah. Oh, I remember riding, I was on a Kawasaki 1000, I think it was, or 900, and I had a drive along, and I felt this, what felt like a cigarette cherry fall, and was burning my inner thigh.
Wow.
Really high on my inner thigh, and it was a bee.
Oh, my God.
I had to pull over, cautiously and without jerks around if they got stinging me the bad place. That wasn't any fun. That's like you don't smile. If you don't have a helmet, don't smile. Back then, we didn't have to wear helmets, so.
All right, yeah. I don't think you still have to. Maybe you do. I say Pee-wee's out on the board. Pee-wee Kusan's out on the board. Say hi to him. And he said that the show was a How I Met Your Mother, the one that I was talking about. I just don't remember the specifics of it.
Oh, yeah. With Neil
Patrick Harris, yeah.
Patrick Harris. That's a funny show. I'll watch it. It's sort of mindless to watch, but it's got Willow from Allison Hannigan. Is that her name? Allison Hannigan.
Yeah. From American Pie.
Yeah. Yeah, and Buffy. She's Willow on Buffy, I think.
Yeah. Also, what's his name? What's his name from Forgetting Sarah Marshall? He's in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a funny show, but I think Neil Patrick Harris really stole it when it came to the funny stuff. His character just cracked me up.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's a funny guy. Let's Suit Up. Was it the Suit Up? And the bro Bible, so things you can't do for as a guy. Well, since we got Pee Wee listening, why don't we go ahead and load his or play his SoundCloud? We bring it.
Yeah, let me. I'll go grab the link and throw it on the board.
Okay. I gotta run back to the studio real quick. No problem. So how far are you away from Cleveland Stadium?
It's about a 35 to 40 minute drive.
Well, it's not too bad.
Nope.
I got 2.5 hours to get to San Francisco.
I spent a lot of time at the old Lakefront Stadium when I was younger. A lot of time during the summer, especially watching.
Oh, I remember
Indians.
You saying that. Yeah, I remember you saying that with your dad. Okay, I'm here. Team of Voices. And there it is. Very good. Thanks, Steven. And Deborah, are you here with us? In the back's Deborah Lee. She does all the heavy lifting so we can stay out here and look pretty. Thanks, Deborah. She answers.
You're long enough to push the button, and then I'm out of here.
Yep. Okay.
Here it comes.
Thank you.
Left forever, never holding now, as the words all come undone. All the broken pieces of my vows, leaving my only song unsung. In the song, in the stream, in the song, sing along in the stream, we sing along while we float, along while we float along on our dream, towards a better life, towards a better life. Maybe it's wrong. It's the only way, it's the only way we had to go, it seems. The moon so far away, so far away, I can't see. The moon so far away, I can't see. The melody's just falling away. And the melody is just falling away. Yet the craters of colors dance so freely, like liquid sun dripping into your day. In a song, in a song, in a stream, we sing along. While we float away from our dreams, towards a better life, right or wrong. It's the only way I know what things mean. And the words keep coming undone. And the melody keeps falling away. Leaving my only song left unsung. Like liquid sun dripping into your day.
That was some pretty cool
we
effects.
We did have an echo. We had a little echo on that, didn't we? I heard two versions going at the same time. Echo.
That's what
and
I thought.
Song,
maybe.
Yeah. It sounded like two of them playing at the same time.
Yeah, and then they kind of met up towards the end. You know, I didn't listen to the SoundCloud earlier, but I read it, and it made me think of Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Now I'm even more in there, life is but a dream, you know. It had me thinking of Star Trek V when Spock and McCoy and Kirk were camping and they were singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat Around the Fire, and Spock was trying to ascertain the lyrics.
You pointed it here, goblin.
Yeah. It's a song, you green-blooded Vulcan.
There you go. The moon's so far away, I can't see. The melody's just falling away. Yet the craters of colors dance so freely with sun dripping into your day. That's the repeated, it's not quite the last one. The liquid sun dripping into your day is repeated.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Forever, ever holding now as the words will come undone. This is to that picture that he posted. This is really good to the picture with the liquid sun dripping into the day.
It makes me think of Sergeant Pepper, the picture.
Yeah, it does. I wonder who the artist was for that. It wasn't Peter Max for Sergeant Pepper, was it? He was big back then. Could have been.
It could have been.
Very good. Thank you, Pee Wee.
Yeah, very cool, Pee Wee.
Yeah. And liking that. Okay. Steven, we can kill some time. If you want to go find one of yours, we can read yours and Uncle Feynman also, maybe Deborah. But
I think Deb said she had to head out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So we'll be talking to her couch if we're talking to her. But I was talking to a friend of mine who moved back to Ohio a couple of years ago. And I'm trying to get to find out where exactly he's at compared to where he goes to see a ball game. I think he had said before, the other time I talked to him, he wasn't far. He's about 45 minutes from Cleveland, the stadium. So I don't know exactly what town he's in. But he quit. I don't know what that was. But it was interesting. I was texting him messages, right? And he wasn't answering me. So I said, "Well, you're not talking to me now," or something like that. He goes, "Texting isn't talking. Texting isn't talking." Wow.
That's deep.
Did you push a button?
I didn't push the button. Is there somebody here, maybe?
Well, they shouldn't be able to push the buttons. No. Just us. So somebody's hosted another show that is has their...
We don't have a show going on in our place.
Yeah.
I'm an icy.
Where's ice? Where's Sky, Sky, Sky?
But,
I don't know where that came from. Somebody's logged in. I wish we had the ability to know who's logged in with the studio password.
Well, Peely said somebody should have hit stop, but that was actually his palm still.
Oh, shoot. Was it? Oh, God. Sorry, Peely.
I got one that I wrote that I don't have any place to read it at.
Okay.
I wrote it to my favorite low budget horror flick, which is called Squirm.
Okay.
And the title the title is a quote from the character that you see in the GIF if you're on the poem. And this is called, "You Gonna Be the Worm Face." Worms aren't food for fish that float, squirming on the keel of boat. Feel the toothy drilling pain surfaced by the devil's rain. Power lines thrash on the ground, voltage shoots with popping sound. 6 feet deep in the living room, no body remains to exhume. End poem.
Okay, the picture. Those are worms?
Yeah, they're burrowing into his face.
Oh, the burrow it is. I thought they were coming out. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the premise of the movie is these high power lines got knocked down by a storm, and all the electricity is running into the ground, and they're causing these worms to get very pissed off and come up from the ground and start eating people.
Wow. The Revenge of Bait.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was done in 76 or 77, something like that.
I never saw it. Yeah, I used to watch all those B movies.
I think this one, if you looked up low budget horror in the dictionary, there'd be a picture of its movie poster right there, Squirm.
remember the shows they were when machinery came alive, tractors and such. What was the name of that?
Maximum Overdrive. Stephen King actually wrote the book.
Well, that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Oh.
The two brothers. One was on one of the nights. So he was a redhead. He's from the town just south of me. Oh, okay. There's two brothers. It's not machinery. Someone. It's a play on words. You know, like Sharktado or. But it was about machines that come to life.
Let me see if I can figure it out.
Yeah, I wonder if I could remember the guy's name. In fact, it was weird. I took a trip back to Salt Lake City once, and I was sitting in a little tavern, and damn if that dude wasn't sitting two seats down. I go, yeah, hey, you look like, oh, almost had it. He goes, that's my brother. Okay. Looking for something. All right, I'll just do a dart. Okay, let me post this one.
Want a dart?
I don't. Want a dart to a dart. Okay.
Make sure
that should be posted right there. And I'm going to take a chance because I don't know if it's a good one or not. Called Gathered to Witness an Unholy Forgiveness. This whispered salutations adorned the mask of sorrows. That was the quote I wrote to. So, hello, goodbye, so long, stay high. The printing of a logo for the wind. They don't blow that nobody here. There's nobody here to ask. So let there be questions and salutations before they grow their masks. Banks of lettered accounts watching it as it bounced, circled pegs that feel the edge, jumps when hears the voice, while cats hunt for legal skunks because they have no choice, hollers with stills, don't ask, it's not real, turn around if it doesn't see it feel right, donning the mask that had to ask if it it can no longer sleep at night. Taking the leaves surrounded by trees in a forest they tried to kill. Will I ever see you again? If the nightmare reflections of the toured insurrections of the tell me that you did not sin. Past in time so we might find there's a rainbow in the dark. Gathered to witness an unholy forgiveness before it all falls apart.
There you go.
Go ahead.
I always like the end of line rhyme when you do that you do it so well.
What, the little rhyme thing, the little bit of rhyme?
Yeah.
At first I went, oh, this is a free verse,
You know, and I've written maybe out of 1,000 poems, I've written maybe 5 free verses as a throwing the dart. But no, it rhymed.
Yes,
that was
to
Wayne Jett's when we did a tribute to Wayne Jett's quotes.
Yeah.
Wayne Jett's is another poet here. Yeah. Hollers with stools, don't ask if it's real. I don't know where I get this stuff. You know, it's, you ever go through that, if you have a night or a succession where you write something and it all comes together at the end and you make references to something you said earlier in the poem. Like when at the beginning of the poem, I described a very tall man, a soldier, and then at the very end, it repeats, not the line, but it says, now I see this man in uniform, very tall man. So it repeated, and it sort of bonded the two, because it's a lengthy poem, and it's a good, I said that terribly wrong, terribly bad, but it gives your piece a little more credibility, or if you're able to do that. It's not easy to do it. I can't tell you how to do it. It's just if you could just reference to something you said earlier. So
I've done that before. I've done that in a few. I don't do it all the time, but I've done it.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever planned to do it. I think it's all just happened. You go, hey, well, all right, I can reference back to the beginning. Using the first lines that you start the poem with, being able to plug that in at the end, that's a good thing too. You know, it's one some of those things you get just by reading other people's work, seeing what you like, what worked, and you don't have to, you know, you're not describing plagiarizing. You just, it's a style of doing or a plan of how you're writing. I think everybody does that. You know, they say, I looked up one time on how to be a better writer, and they started talking about poetry and song lyrics, and they said, first thing you do is read a lot of poetry. Read a lot.
Yeah.
Different styles. You'll pick it up. It's not like you take notes and the next time you write, you include it. It's stuff that you pick up in your brain as you write, and it comes out naturally. We've been doing this for a number of years now, and I'm sure you see it like I do. Some of these poets that were average, you know, good poets have become excellent writers just because they do it every day, or they do it many times a week. And that just comes with the territory. I mean, You put that much time into playing pool, you'd be pretty good by now. So, I always felt if I took as much time as I did a certain wasting time thing, you know, let's say, drawing, but I do a lot of doodling. Take that time that I sit in front of the TV doodling and learn French, I would be speaking French pretty good by now. It's just an unwillingness to want to spend the time doing something, I guess. Yeah, bad habits that we all have. Let's see. We were going to hit on sort of a think tank thing, how to make money after the post-pandemic. I suggested delivery was going to be a big thing that, you know, people start delivering things to you. And sure stuff, man, out here on the West Coast, I don't know about you guys, but they'll deliver anything to you. You don't ever have to leave your house.
Yep, they do that here too. Even fast food, they'll go up for you.
Yeah. And it's, I like the ones that the drivers are paid by the establishment, so you don't forced into paying them, but we tip them all the time. But we do have the companies that you pay for that delivery to where other restaurants, for example, would they deliver for free? Like my pharmacy, I get that delivered free. anytime. That's sort of
cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I can't get triplicates, any pain pills or anything like that. I have to go in myself, but anything else can be delivered. But, yeah, think tank. Security. My other thing was security with your own property. And they have come out with that light bulb, porch light, that's actually a GoPro in it.
Yeah.
My only problem with that is, you got to have it out of the reach of the person or they're going to take your light bulb.
Yeah, I want but, that.
There you go. It's a good look, I think it's our camera. we bought a battery operated spotlight for the side of the house. So people like to dive in there because it's so dark. And
I got solar powered motion detector security lighting around the house, so I didn't have to hardwire or anything, and it works really well.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I think the light bulb, you could monitor with your phone. You can actually see who's at your door.
Yep, and talk to them even, some of them.
And talk to them, yeah.
Hey, get the hell off
never
my
worried about that. Yeah, I always had dogs. I always had big dogs. Didn't worry too much about people's property. But... they say that's the best deterrent, that if somebody rings your doorbell and you're not home, they hear a dog in there.
Yeah.
They go to the next house.
They're getting so brazen now,
better be a big sounding dog, not a yapper.
Right, yeah, not like a chihuahua.
Yeah, and nothing against yapping dogs. I know people that go, that ain't a dog. No, that's not a dog. Might as well have a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Little dogs. When in fact, those little dogs are fearless.
When I was a kid, we had a toy fox terrier, a little tiny dog, about the same size as a chihuahua, maybe a little bigger. And when somebody would knock on that front door, my God, she would just tear across the whole house, and then she'd jump. We had to take the bottom screen out of the screen door because she'd go right through it. We had to keep a window on it. Yep.
That's a good thing, you know. And you can't get mad at the dogs. I had my sister-in-law one thing. I was working on their property. I was getting water on their pastures and building fence and some pipelines, some sprinkler lines. And I could hear her. I mean, this isn't the track homes by any means. Everybody's got property. Anytime that dog would start barking, I could hear her screaming at it. And that was like a yellow lab, just screaming at the dog to shut up. I go, can't do that. That's what a dog does.
Right.
If anything, you praise him, calm him down. But especially with dogs. The dog you're going to have is the time you put into it when it's a puppy. That's just the way it is. You don't put it any time, that dog's not going to be trained. It's going to do what it wants, bark when it wants. But you put the time in, you'll have an excellent companion and protector of your stuff, and he'll know what you mean. He'll know your attitude. If you're upset, he'll be upset. If you're not, if he's calm, they're going to hear a noise. They'll look at you. If you're not upset about the noise, he isn't either. So...
Yeah. True.
But one day I'll have another dog, I hope. I guess.
I don't get to have another dog until I retire.
Yeah. But you
have
guitar, yeah. So what kind are you what breed are you feeling for? You like the terriers?
Well, I miss my Aussie. I used to have an Australian Shepherd named Strider, and he was definitely a dog. And I miss him. But before him, I when I, before the last dog I had when I lived with my parents was a border collie, and she was like the smartest dog I have ever had in my life. She was amazing. And then
you you just named the two breeds that I would have. It'd either be an Aussie or an Australian Shepherd or a border collie. I think I'd go border collie this time around, mainly because they're a little smaller breed, just as smart, and very trainable.
And we had a dog that we rescued, Kay and I. She was a German Shepherd Husky mix, and she was a really good dog too.
I'll do my Bill Burr rescue. Would you run into a house for save it from a house fire? The rescue. This is a joke. Yeah, stay in school. Yeah, if you're looking for a pet, go to the shelter. Save a life.
Yes, indeed.
I can't. I have a hard time with these commercials that they flood you with, especially on the weekends. You sit there watching a game or something, and you see these sad puppies or these puppy farms where they're mistreated. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, if I was filthy rich, my money would go into the people that dedicate their lives to the animals, and there are those people. They go without to send for dogs who have been forgotten or abused. And I tell you what, big shout out to them for doing that. I have one, it's a rescue farm down probably about 30 minutes from me, and I'd send them $100 one now and then. This lady was so active in saving dogs' lives, especially from when they get to the pound, on finding forever homes for them. And she had, and I followed her on Facebook for a while, you know, watching her when she'd go to court, you know, things changed, and she's in a different county. But I sent her a couple, you know, $100 now and then, because I know she would go. She said she would post things like, well, new jeans today, or new socks today, or food for the new animals. So I guess I'll get socks next month. You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're not far. If you wanted to find one and help them out, that's a good, it goes hands-on to the people that you know it's going to get to them. You know, I have a problem with donating with just to a cause. You don't know where that money's going. And I'm not saying that there are good ones out there. I'm just saying that there are some that never get to the animals. So you can find them just by spending time looking them up. And I'm sure there's never one too far away from anybody. Need help. And it's like when I was on Chicken Mountain. I had over 300 animals in my charge. And, everything goes to them, because you can't take a day off. You know, they need you. You got to put them in their safe houses at night. You got to let them out. You got to food, water, check them for health, you know, physicals now and then. And so it's a 24/7, 365, basically.
Yep.
But you got to love doing it, and then it's not work. It's just you have no other life. But the animals love you unconditionally. Something that people have a hard time doing. I played when I first got to Chicken Mountain. I rebuilt the compound and everything, and as I did it, I piped in music. You know, it's a proven fact. You can calm aggression in animals by playing music. And
yeah,
classic rock was what I played for them, and it did. We had a place called Murder's Row, and what it was is where all the roosters would end up. Now, roosters in chicken world are brutal. They will pick on one, and once one is being picked on, they all do. You got to recognize it early, and you got to separate that animal. I think it's the one most unfair things in nature is what happens to the males when you got too many of them. You only need one breeding or a couple breeding roosters, but when you go from hatching, you can't decide which one's which. It just happens. But
I was going to ask you that, actually, if there was a way to tell what sex a chick was.
Well, no. You can. You can sex them. You've got to be really good at it. And even the good the people that know how to do it are probably 75% right. So there are times they're hard. You just got to, know how to turn them upside down and examine them. I never had to do that. I didn't care. My animals were the breeds that I took. I took the Cochin Colombians, which are black and white. And I ended up with a pencil lace pattern on them, which is highly sought after. So I bred actually I had two. I had I could name. I named mine like Cleopatra and Guinevere, this kind of thing. So all I needed was two roosters. And the hatchings, about 50-50. You can get just as many roosters as hens. So I had to sell them. And with that pattern, it wasn't hard to sell at all. Whether they knew it or not, they'd come look at the birds, and I'd sell them mine. The owner wasn't happy too much with it. But absolutely gorgeous animals. We raised and bred for show and pets. We did not ever sell anything to eat, which was good. Another rule I laid down is if I nursed them back to health, they got their own penthouse in the coops, and they were not able to be sold. It was a good point.
In the future, when Kay and I get into our last home, because the place we're living in right now is not the place that we want to finish out in, so we're going to get one other place. And we were thinking about actually getting chickens when we got there, and I didn't want chicken. That's it. I just want chicken.
I can help you there on which breed you would want and which ones you want to stay away from. Like Rhode Island Reds, for example, they're very aggressive. They're big. If you want calm chickens, don't. You know, where you go, will you be able to have roosters or just chickens, just hens?
I would probably only want hens, actually, because I don't want more.
I would suggest Cochins. They're the smaller breed. They're not big chickens, and you can get different kinds, like the Silkies. They're the ones with look like they got fur on them instead of feathers. That's really thin, really. You can't tell what the head of the tail is. Those are really calm chickens. They're really nice to have out. And they make diapers. You can put diapers on them so they can come in the house.
No chickens in the house.
Yeah, you can order them with your favorite baseball, football team, or any other you want. Yeah. Study on what breeds are go with each other, because hens can be very aggressive too. But if you're going to stay away from roosters, that's all good. Yeah, they're trying now to stop people around here from having chickens. At first they fought the roosters, and they won that, no roosters. I'll tell you what, to have a rooster crowing in the morning or the evening, but they do crow all day, you end up not even hearing it anymore. It's like I lived across the street from St. Mary's Church, and the bell tower went off every 30 minutes. After a while, I sort of appreciated I knew what time it was every time. It didn't bother me at all, but people like to complain. Now they're trying to get illegal to have chickens.
It's amazing what you can get used to. Because I remember the place that we used to live at before was almost right on the lake. Really only had to walk a couple streets over and you'd see the lake from where we were. And now where we're at, we're kind of closer to some train tracks. And when we first moved here, the train would come at night and it would wake me up every time. But now it's like I can't sleep without the train.
yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, at night here too, when the traffic's died down. I'm in a place now that the only time I've basically lived in the track homes, that's where I am now. I got to get back to the hills. Got to get back to a little more. And attitude of people is different too when you get it to farms and orchards and people look after you.
Yeah.
I remember growing up on my aunt and uncle's farm. They had sometimes they had the wildfires. They're not big. They're not like forest fires, but a fire will go across the piece of land really quick. And if you have buildings in the way, for example, this one Japanese gentleman, we were watching the fire. We knew it was on his property up on this side of this hill. And all of a sudden, the smoke turned from white, which is grass, to dark. And that means the structure's involved. And my uncle said, "Oh, God, you know, I hope it's not his house." And it was one of his barns. Everybody in that area for the next month went out, donated their time and material. That barn was built in a month, replacing
it.
And that's what they do. That's what they call the barn building. You do for your neighbor because you could be next. And nobody could afford to, you know, afford to have their barn built. It's very expensive nowadays, huh?
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the greatest things I had seen. It's not uncommon. It's going away more and more, but it was still there when I was a kid. Good to see.
There's that movie Harrison Ford called Witness, where he ended up hiding out with the Amish folks, and he participated in a barn raising at one point. I thought that was a really cool, really cool scene watching them all put that barn together so fast.
Yeah, and it's like I remember. I think his name was Sakaniwa. That's pretty close. He didn't even know the material was going to be delivered. Big truck from the lumber yard in town showed up, and a lot of it was donated by the owners, and they had about 12 guys out there all ready to start pounding up. These guys were carpenters. I mean, big time. They had those walls up in a day. Problem with it now, you'd have to go through regulations and permits to have anything built, which is so long. If you have anything, you have foundations built, concrete, you have foundations, they'll make you tear it up if you didn't get a permit to do it.
Yeah, that's just...
It is. I guess I have been told, I don't know this for sure, but you cannot retile your bathroom without it being inspected, having a permit to do it. I know they did with aerial surveillance. They would go over with aircraft and they'd take pictures, and then somebody had the job of going through and going lot by lot and seeing if there's anything new being built. If they didn't have a permit, they'd come make you tear it down.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous.
I would hate that job, actually. I'd get a headache.
Yeah, they probably got some computer software that just says there's a difference on this lot. Check it out. So they didn't have to go to each one. They probably flagged. So if you know you're going to do that in the future, plant trees now so you can build basically underneath the trees a little bit. But
That's
so wrong. It's just paying for your government. They need somebody
to
pay for it.
Get those nets like they used in MASH. That'll work.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wanted to. My dad tells a story when my dad had like seven brothers and five sisters. And he said they would go fishing on this lake up by Placerville. And they knew this game warden was watching them. So they had this gunny sack tied to the back of the boat, side of the boat, and they'd catch a fish and throw it in the gunny sack. They were knocking them dead. A bunch of these little ones, they kept throwing and throwing. They knew they were being watched by this game warden up on the hill. And the thing was, there was no bottom to the gunny sack. They just kept throwing this fish in, So when he got over to the doctor, here's the game warden. He's going to bust him, you know, and he lifts up the bag and there's no bottom to it. He wasn't really, he was not real happy, but I just thought that was funny. Little Barney Fife up there on the hill with binoculars. Yeah, I heard about your bullet. I did that one time in a tavern. I was sitting where we played pool. We had gotten done with the league, and most of the players had left. The other thing, I was still in there, and two cops walk in. Now, they walk in to try to bust people for smoking, if they're smoking. For some reason, at that moment, there was nobody smoking in the place, which is sort of odd, but there was nobody. So these guys, one guy, he's harassing the bartender by the front door. And the bartender, he's going, I don't know. I told him it's illegal, but I can't come across around this bar to enforce it. What do you want me to do? You know, he's having this kind of conversation. While the old guy, he's doing a round. He's walking around down where the pool tables are, making his way just to check and see what's happening. I tell the bartender, hey, Brian, tell him to put this bullet back in the pocket before he shoots somebody. All of a sudden, they'll get a tap on my shoulder, and the guy next to me goes, "Hush, man, check it out." The cop was right on my 7 o'clock at the time I said that. I'm calling him Barney Fife. I look up and I go, "Oh God, this can't be good. He's gonna be good." He laughed. It was sort of funny, but, you know, just going to harass people.
You know, I think
the regulators
should have been a little more lenient because, you know, I used to smoke, and I think I shot pool better if I had a cigarette in my mouth.
You know, your left shoes untied, I shot better. Whatever makes you more comfortable, yeah, that's true. I knew this guy we called him Boston Charlie. He had a huge Boston accent, right? He was on our league team, and we're playing for positions of a championship, whether we're going to go on to play first place or not. So we're playing these guys who are really good. Ian, who was the guy that ran our team, he said, go up and get Boston, come down here and warm up. So I go up there. He's trying to pick up these two chicks, and he's drinking pitchers of beer, right? He won't come down and warm up. I tell Ian that, and I go, all right. Well, so he's shooting twice. I have to go up and go, Boston, you're up. He comes down, grabs us. Now let me describe this scenario. He's playing this guy who's probably the best player on that team. He's a black dude, very nice gentleman, and he is basically a cowboy. Black cowboy, but he's a really good pool player, and he's going to be matched up against Boston Charlie. So we're just great. He's not warmed up. Everything. This guy has got three cues. He's got his breaking cue. And he's got two touch cues. So Boston Charlie walks down there, grabs a stick off the freaking wall, doesn't even chalk it, breaks it, and runs the table, walks back up and try to pick up these sticks. He looks at me and he goes, I guess Boston doesn't have to warm up anymore. But, whatever was more comfortable with Boston, it was having about four or five beers in him.
Yeah.
He was just unconscious on the table, yeah. But, having a cigarette in your mouth, I smoke too. And it kind of just makes you more comfortable where you're at. Not that it's any good for you, stay in school.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
It's been years. Go ahead.
You got me thinking of the movie The Color of Money with Paul Newman and Tom Cruise. I love that movie.
Another one I haven't seen.
Wow. Paul Newman reprises his role as Fast Eddie Felsen in it, and he discovers Tom Cruise, who is an excellent pool player, and he teaches him the ropes for hustling.
Wasn't that like this? Wasn't that the Sting also with Newman and Redford?
Yeah, they played Fast Eddie Felsen in that as well.
You know, I saw there's a videotape on YouTube of Minnesota Fats playing Willie Moscone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with Minnesota Fats, he's an obnoxious talker. He's always gabbing, always talking, you know, trying to get under your skin. And Willie Moscone is a very reserved, professional-type player. And the interaction between the two is they don't like each other. Let's just put it that way. And I think it grew from what people were saying about him. Who's the best, you know, pool player, and who couldn't. It gets really nasty with the name calling. But yeah, check it out. It's Willie Muscovy and Minnesota Fats. And I'll leave it up to you guys to decide which one wins. I think they're playing nine ball. No, they're playing eight ball. It is eight ball. But
it gets some pretty cool stuff on YouTube. At one point, I watched the Cleveland Browns beat the Dallas Cowboys, and it was Brian Sipe, and I believe it's Roger Staubach on the Cowboys.
Right.
And the one that I really had fun, though, is they actually had the whole game, and I wrote a poem about it, what the heck's his name, though? Len Barker for the Indians pitches a perfect game. Against the Blue Jays. You can actually watch the whole game on YouTube.
Those are great. Remember the one-handed pitcher played for the White Sox, maybe? I mean, he only had one hand. He had to play in the American League because he didn't bat.
He pitched the ball and put his glove on really fast every time. I remember that. What the hell was his name?
Sykes. I want to say Sykes or something. That, I don't think that's right. He even pitched a one hitter. Oh, I can't remember his name. That's like remember the bird, Fetich. I call him the bird because he talked to the ball. Make little mounds of dirt on the mound. Mark Fetich, I think his name is.
Jim Abbott.
In the pen. Abbott. Yeah, that was the one-handed guy. That's right.
Yep. He was amazing.
It was quite amazing. And for him to pitch, I don't know if he got a no-hitter or if it was just a one-hitter. But even that, he was incredible.
I'm looking at him to see if he did pitch the one hitter. He played for the Angels, the Yankees, the White Sox, and the Brewers from 89 to 99.
10 years. Wow, I didn't know he was there for that long. Wow.
His earned run average for the whole time was 4.25.
Okay. Did he end up a starter, or he had to be a starter?
Maybe he was a starter. Let's see.
Did he go short relieving or something? Probably not. I don't think he was I don't think he threw a lot of 100 mile an hour balls, but and I don't remember him being a junk throwing a lot of junk either. He pitched right-handed. Right? He was minus his left hand because he had to put the mitt on his right hand. That's right. He had to put the mitt back on his right hand.
No, actually, he was a lefty. It looks like he. Oh God.
He was a lefty. Is that right?
There you go.
Out of 50.
On September 4th of 1993, pitched a no-hitter against the Cleveland Indians.
Well, they're in the record book. That's like Emerson Walls. I think it's Emerson Walls, the number 26 for the Dallas Cowboys, defensive back, strong safety. He's the one that gets burned when Dwight Clark catches the catch to beat Dallas for the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl. Montana, and that's called The Catch, you know, Dwight Clark. It's number 26. He goes down in history as in that picture. That's the last thing you want to be, is like the basketball player who's being jumped over, slam dunk, and, you know, you go down and picture the front cover of Sports Illustrated. The guy's got the, I don't want to say where I was going. How many times are you going to have that, the nuts in your face before you get the idea? As far as positions, they're giving the offensive receivers more. A new rule gives them a slight more advantage over the defensive backs, and it's already so unfair the way it is, and it's to make it a more offensive game. That's what the designated hitter was, to bring people back into the ball game. They let the American League have a designated hitter who didn't have to play in the field, right?
Yeah. Me personally, I prefer a defensive battle over an offensive.
I agree with that.
I'll be chewing my nails down to the bone, but I love a good pitcher's duel when it comes to baseball.
And football, too. One of the greatest Super Bowls, I thought, was the Rams and the Patriots. They were it was a defensive pounding. Yeah, I agree with you. When they were used to the All-Star game, the winner of the All-Star game used to have the advantage of who was home for the World Series. I always thought it was unfair, because you can't take a record if a pitcher pitches or a batter bats is just on a team of American League. You can't go stats, because he batted before the designated hitter, after the designated hitter, was the designated hitter. And then the pitchers, you got to separate from American League to National League, because you've got a home run guy every freaking in that lineup. I always thought it was unfair for you to do that. Either let the National League have a designated hitter, or put the designated hitter away from the American League. Because I think there is an advantage. The bats, American League dominates the National, almost everything in that that has an effect from the offensive bat. So I don't know. But, they're given – I can't remember the rule. I should have looked it up if I was going to bring it up. But I think it's you used to be able to check a guy within the first 5 yards off the line.
Yeah.
You can hit a receiver without, But and you can't, if the ball's in the air, you can't touch him. That's always been the rule. But I think they're limiting the check. You can't touch that receiver. And if you can't check him, receivers are 6'6", 6'8" now? Defensive backs are 5'10" to 6 foot tall, 6'1" if you're a safety. That's an advantage. Can you tell that I played defensive back?
So did I.
Explain this to me. How come a 250-pound fullback or tailback can get on a full run, lower his head, and run you over with his helmet, but you can't hit him with your helmet first? I can understand he can't defend himself when he's an undefended player or ability to defend himself. Like my defensive end, who I played behind, would hang up a guy all the time. I'd zero in on him. Because, he's like a wounded gazelle. I can see that. You don't want to be able to take your helmet and just tear him apart because he's unable to defend himself. But when a fullback, 250-pound dude, comes through that line untouched, and you're standing flat-footed as a safety or a defensive back, and he can use his helmet as a weapon, but you can't. I don't know. Seems to me a lot of running over. You guys like Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker or kind of back. People going to get hurt? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I like
it seems to me. When it comes to pro football anymore, it seems to me it's just so much different from what I used to watch when I was in the 80s and It is. You know, back and stuff, when people would actually put their head down and try to get that extra yard rather than dance out of bounds. That's why when for a while there, the Browns had a guy named Hillis, and I liked him a lot because he would not dance out of bounds. He would put his head down and try to knock you over rather than let you tackle him. And he just made me think of he was like a Kevin Mack. But Kevin Mack used to be for the Browns, you know. He was a freaking coming through the line.
Yeah, you know, and you still run across some of those backs that do that. But they're told, it's like one guy that liked to lower his head and try running over linebackers was Steve Young, and it drove the freaking owners of the 49ers not crazy, and the coaches. Like, Steve, don't do that. Run out of bounds. But he would lower his head and run him over. And he wasn't that big to be doing that. The mentality of it, and I can understand that, because your longevity as a professional football player is minimized usually by, you know, you might have, if you're in the league for 10 years, that's outstanding. Think of all the players that played for 2, 3, 4 years, and that was it. Their whole life they wanted to get in, you know, to be able to play professional level, and then be due to injury or you're just, there's so many great talents out there. Another question, I like these guys that go, back in the day they were better. They wouldn't stand up to the, let's say, the Oakland Raiders of the late 60s or 70s. Or let's go Miami Dolphins, the undefeated team, Zonka and Kick.
Yeah.
They say that that's a better team. That team could play today. I disagree. The linebackers back then were huge and usually not fast. Nowadays, these linebackers are huge and quick.
Yeah.
It's a whole different, And saying that, those old teams couldn't hang with the teams nowadays. I'm a firm believer.
I would have to agree.
Today are so much better. Yeah,
I have to agree. The only advantage, like I said, for an older team that would have over a newer team is the physicality, how physical they played the game back then, and I just don't think they played as physical as they used to.
Oh man, they had that one dude that used to go on. He was an old school dude, Don something. I can't remember his name, but he played with Ray Nitschke and these guys were. Well, I had a broken arm in the first quarter. And I played both ways. Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah. I think I mentioned before, it was where I was watching on the NFL Network, they were showing old games, and they showed the game where it was a playoff game where the Houston Oilers, they were playing against Buffalo, and I believe they went into halftime, and Houston was leading 35-3 or something like that. In the second half, Buffalo came back and actually beat them. But there was a guy that actually played for the Browns. His name was Webster Slaughter. He was playing for the Oilers at the time. He had a cast on his arm, and he was still out there catching the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Or check this. It was either in 81 or 83. I think it was 83 when the Niners took the Super Bowl. Ronnie Lott broke his little finger the day before the game, or the week before the game, week of the Super Bowl. His choices were, well, we'll put that in a cast and you're not going to be able to play, you know. And he says, cut it off. Ronnie Lott's only got 9 fingers, and they amputated his fingers just a couple days before the Super Bowl so he could play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought you were taping to the next finger or something like that.
Well, it was a little finger. I guess it got tore out. Just tore the knuckle up and everything. He just said, cut it off.
He could have
wanted to play.
Put it back on after the game.
Keep it on ice.
Yeah.
But even saying that, that's got to hurt. That's got to be painful.
Yeah.
Just to have to bang that thing around. Oh, Ronnie Lott. Yeah. I mean, I already loved the guy. he was a monster, one of the hardest hitters, strong safeties ever. But yeah, I didn't know that story until years later.
Wow.
I remember the cat. I remember the bandage he had on his hand. I think he even intercepted a pass. I'm not sure, but that's dedication. Now it's, you know, these guys are in the contracts. I remember Big Ben from Pittsburgh. They all signed contracts that during the season, the playing season, they can't go skydiving, they can't ride motorcycles, they can't do this and that, right? Now it's
right.
Contracts are the entire year because they invested millions into you in the contract.
Right.
You can't do, they list a couple of things you cannot do. You can't, you know, like I said, skydive or scuba dive or anything like that. That's put in their contract. Big Ben had signed a thing. That's when he was in a motorcycle accident and had a slight head injury. And it was a questionable how bad he was hurt.
Yeah.
Apparently not too much, but he paid a big fine or he was reminded. No motorcycle ride during the season. You're getting paid that many millions. I can honestly see it. You're on that field or during the season, you are an employee of that owner and he lays down the law. You don't have to work for the guy. You can leave.
True.
I heard that we have a new leader of who's being paid the most money as an athlete. It's $640 million. I don't want to say soccer because they just flashed the name up. And it could be soccer, $640 million. You know, I had a conversation about Patrick Mahomes getting that $500 million contract. They were saying he was going to get paid this. And I said, listen, I could bet, and I am right, and I did find out I was right. Most of that salary that he paid over 10 years, I think it is, their incentives. If he doesn't produce, he's not going to get that much money. If he doesn't take the Chiefs to the dance, he's not going to make the entire amount. There's a number of what they call incentives to keep playing your best. In other words, you can't make that much money and sit on the bench. Totally agree with that. But so far, Mahomes has basically kept up with his deal, took him to the dance again. He's a different kind of athlete. He's a lot bigger than he looks.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, I was going to – I did read one. Okay. Well, what's new at Slice of Poetic Life? You want to go over your upcoming schedule?
What excites? Let's see here. Let me jump over there and take a look.
Yeah.
Joe Piscopo said that. Let's take a look. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that's been blackballed for TV. And I don't know why. I can't remember what he did on Saturday Night Live. Or...
Who knows?
But, He the only one that got was ever fired was Norm Macdonald.
Oh yeah.
He would piss Lorne Michael off so much.
Let's see. Next week, Wednesday is the Poetic Inklings of tomorrow at 7:30 PM over at a Poetic Slice of Life. We're gonna honor our pets. We have quotes about different types of pets. We have cats, we have dogs. We even have hamsters and birds and goldfish quotes to write to. Or you can bring a write about another pet that I didn't mention as well. But we're doing that in honor of the queen since she passed away. So we want to do this day to honor her. That's what we come up with. And then the following day, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm. And it will be the newest edition of Dungeons & Dragons. If featuring the class The Paladin, which is 8 p.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, Sky's a good one to have on your team of hosts. She's got the gift of gab. She's a good radio person. That's a compliment, Sky. And she echoes. I was going to say something. We do have, I guess it's filled for this month, but we do have the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation contest every month. I think it's, we have the entries for this month. We have to judge them, but I wish I knew what date is usually at post. We allow 30 members. Winners get the $100 cash, and second and third place get a free gold membership for a month, I believe is what we settled at. But tomorrow night is April 1st. It's usually Hatter's unbirthday, but they'll have a Hatter Day Saturday with AP Taylor and Deborah Lee. Always fun hanging with those two. And my countdown. I have a countdown starting tomorrow, 30 days, that I will be on a flight to New Zealand and then to Australia.
Don't talk too much about it.
Okay. I already told my roommate, and I said, no going anywhere. Anybody might be sick. Don't get near me. Walls go up. Some stupid thing like that happens to me. So, like I said, I can't go skydiving. Or
there you go. No motorcycle.
Yeah, no motorcycle. And don't get in sick. But it's exciting, you know, that I've always wanted to go to Australia since I was a kid. I always said, without even knowing what was there as a kid, where would you go if I ever was asked that? I'd say Australia. Then I found that I think the reason was because Australia was in the news for the last gold rush in Victoria. And I think that's where it started. So my whole life I'm going, yeah, Australia, that's where I go. And then I get a chance to go. Didn't plan it to be this late in my life, but a big adventure.
Maybe when you were a kid, you saw the James Garner movie, Support Your Local Sheriff, because he's always saying in that movie, I'm just basically on my way to Australia.
Garner. Yeah, that's one of my roommate's favorite shows. Anything with Garner in it.
Maverick.
You know, very few actors or actresses can shake the stereotype of a certain role that they play.
True.
And others can. It's like anybody on Gilligan's Island, Russell Johnson, the professor, he was in a lot of old westerns. As you know, never the star, but he's always in the posse or something there. Sort of a half main character usually shows up all the time. But after Gilligan's Island, you know, he sort of roped into the professor, say with Tina Louise. She says that show ruined her career. But, you know, Don Wells said no, and she embraced it. She enjoyed, because if you're stereotyped into a certain type, at least you're known. That's what you wanted.
True.
But there are guys like you who you would think would be stereotyped, like Carol O'Connor. You would think that Archie Bunker thing would follow him around and it would be hard to cast him in anything. But in fact, he did The Heat of the Night, totally shook it. So I guess
yeah.
It's the actor. Yeah. And some, they say, you know, they say they think a lot of female actresses that get so popular so fast that they won't cast them in new movies, being that they say they carry too much baggage. Mm-hmm. That's what the directors maybe say. They don't want to spend the money for it, for one thing, and another, they always have a lot of baggage. They always got to have their own trailer, and they got to have pure water, and they got to have this and that and that. It's not worth it. So, yeah, being fatal. I chose not to be famous. I said, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
A hard decision, you know, hard to, had to be done.
That's true, yeah. Mighty nice of you there.
You know,
I tell you, when I think of bus breaking stereotypes, you know who did that big time, like a major turnaround, was Michael Keaton, when he went from like Mr. Mom to Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. Very versatile actor. The ones that could go like Craig T. Nelson. He did Coach, sitcom. Then he was in Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist. The dude is very versatile. I guess it's the actor, because that would have been a easy one to be stereotyped. A lot of the actors, they stay away from sitcoms because for that exact reason. Some people can't shake that.
Yeah. Well, now he's in a sitcom again. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing. He's in Young Sheldon now as the as Sheldon's grandmother's boyfriend.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. How do you like these ones that revisit? I mean, they did the Leave It to Beaver one, where Ken Osborne was even there. You know, Eddie Haskell. Do you know what he after that Leave It to Beaver, he became a Los Angeles cop, policeman. He
I
said he had
that.
A girl. He grew a the dude is a, I guess is an extraordinarily kind man. He was nothing like Eddie Haskell you'd think of, but. He said he had to grow a mustache only because so he wasn't recognized when he walked up to a somebody. Aren't you Eddie Haskell? He just died last year too, Ken Osborne.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Eddie Haskell. Like, what a character!
Like you know, Bruce Dern. I'm sure that he would have never killed John Wayne in real life.
Yeah, you know, some of that is really relatable, you know, when I was young. It's like when they go out to play, they have slacks and dress shoes on. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And I heard, you know, when I was a kid, when somebody asked, you know, where I am, where's Jerry? My parents would go, I don't know, outside somewhere. Nowadays, you don't hear that.
No.
They sent you outside to get out. And what you did, you found your own entertainment. You found other kids your age. You found an empty lot. Stick and dirt clods and have a ball.
I think Kay and I were actually talking about that the other day, how, you know, when we were younger, you spent so much time outside that you really never had a chance to gain weight. Now most of these kids are so pudgy because they're just sitting on their rear ends in front of a computer screen all the time.
Yeah, and not, how long has it been since you saw kids riding bikes outside?
I see it often. That's for sure. Although I will have to say our next daughter, she definitely seems to be outside quite a bit playing too much. Yeah.
You know, and it's a dangerous world. I can totally see. I kept a good eye on my kids. And it's even worse now. Stranger talking to them. I always had kids walking up to me. You know, I was a kid guy. I loved kids. Now it's like, you know, you think you're doing something wrong when you're talking to a kid. You're just talking to them. They come up and ask you questions. Next thing you know, the parents are like, what are you doing? You know, get in the house. We don't know him. It's totally understandable. And it's a shame that it's that way. But Life goes on.
The town that I grew up in was a little, I always say my little harbor town that I grew up in, and everybody knew everybody. So
you really
couldn't get away with much. And in fact, I mean, if you tried to do something when you were a kid, it would just go right down the line, and your parents would know about it before you even got home.
I remember when I was a kid, I was always fighting. You didn't come up behind me and flick my ears when it was cold or anything like that. Or it was on. And I always get in trouble. And I was told I had to stay after the vice principal's office for 30 minutes. And I would sit there and wait. And then I would run home as fast as I could. And I could still see some of the stragglers, you know, still walk up the hill or something. I go, oh, you know, Mom's not going to know. She knew every time. I go, how does she know? For the years, I sat there, oh, man. I go, no way, because she is going to. Well, I didn't know the vice principal called my mom.
Yeah.
And it's so unfair. I'm sitting there trying to, I could still beat it if I could walk out the next 60 seconds, you know, and run home. I busted every time. You got anything to add? We can wrap this up. We're doing about an hour and 45.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Are you? How are the Indians going to do this year? Oh, sorry. Did I say it wrong? The Guardians.
Yeah, I don't know. They're saying that they're going to do pretty darn good, but they didn't start off very well because they lost to the Mariners the first game. I would say that I do want to say that we were at one of my meetings at work. We do a meeting every Monday. And the one lady, one of the supervisors, she just had cataract surgery, so she's been wearing those sunglasses, but she wasn't wearing them that day. And the big boss asked her, why aren't you wearing them? And she said that somebody had accused her of being a drug addict. And the big boss said, well, you could have said I am, you know, like a smart-ass answer. But she said, no, it made me cry. And she said, oh, you know, it shouldn't make you cry. And it just kind of got around to me, and I said, the only time I ever cry is when the Indians lose, so I don't have to worry about that anymore since they're not the Indians anymore.
Yeah. I become that guy that doesn't start following baseball till 4th of July, halfway through.
Yeah.
And I look at the schedule, you know, being that I'm pretty much not going to be going down to San Francisco watch the games anymore. The Niners stadium is a lot further than the Giants. And it's just it's a $300 day.
Yeah.
It just is.
I lived at Lakefront Stadium when I was, especially when I got 16 and I had my own driver's license. Me and my friends, we would drive there ourselves on the weekends I might as well have had season tickets. I don't know why I didn't get season tickets because I was there damn near every home game.
Yeah, I had. There was a video of this guy that was security at a basketball game, and I think it was in Detroit. I think it was the Pistons. And this activist was going to run on to the court and either throw something on a player. I mean, he was going to assault the player because, you know, the guy's 7 feet tall, but as soon as that guy hit from the second, third row, as soon as that guy hit the court with his feet, this security guy comes out of nowhere and tackles him. And they asked him, well, how did you know? How did you know he was going to do that? And he goes, well, I recognized the dude. And it goes into this guy's story. And he goes, well, when I was a kid, we used to buy one ticket. One guy would come in and then let the other guys in the back door. They knew where that was. Well, they got caught once, and instead of the security guy kicking them out, he said he gave them all tickets to watch the game. And he says, it's better that you guys are in here than out there, you know, vandalizing cars or being mad or doing something else. Because I remember that. So he ended up being security at that stadium, and he recognized the dude in the crowd. He already knew who this guy was, and so he sat there and waited just about three people away from him. The minute the guy bolted, he had him down. So he goes, it's all related back to that one security guy who didn't kick him out. He gave him tickets. Come on in and see the game. He goes, from then on, I realized that that it got him into being involved in the stadium, in the Coliseum there, or the pavilion. So it was a great story. On YouTube, too. So I watched too much YouTube. We'll just go. You got a song or something you want to play to head out? Call it a night.
Whatever you want to play. I'm not even sure what's in the studio.
Boy, we got it's huge. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna flip this. There it goes. First good song I see is Doobie Brothers. Oh, that was the Cajun Dark Side Cajun Woman. How about that? Take it, buddy. Let's show it up.
Think back to the time when I first saw your face. You were walking across the delta to your cold and lonely place. You know I took you for a small girl, really not quite 17. Take all that.
Gigantic Words. Doobie Brothers, that Skunk Baxter, that guitar. Steven76, thank you so much for another Man Cave show. And Deborah Lee, thank you for doing all the hard work. And
we're getting nailed by a huge thunderstorm right now, and the power just flickered. Can you believe that crap?
Oh, hey, kiss the wind for me.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, guys. We'll catch
Have
you
next
time, everybody. Thank you for listening to the show. Next Friday, the last Friday of the month, the next month, we will be here again. So everybody take it easy. Thank you.
Good night.